We are in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 to 8. And let us read the word of the Lord. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you haven't left us in darkness. You've sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be light in the world. You have granted us your word to sanctify us as it is the truth itself. We thank you for the truth of Christ. We thank you for the truth of your word. We pray that you continue to sanctify us in your word, through the preaching of your word, through the reading of your word. Bless this message. Bless your word going out today. We pray, knowing that it will sanctify and save. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, today is the 96th birthday of Brother Bill Mullins. The 96th birthday. And this week, Brother Bill spent his time lying in bed at home waiting to meet the Lord, as he continues to this morning. He has been surrounded by and cared for 24/7 his siblings, his children, his nieces and nephews, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, his own children. There have been many people coming to spend time with him, coming in from out of town. They are keeping him comfortable in his own home, which was his wish. He's not plugged into anything. He's being medicated with drugs and other things that are helping him be comfortable, to sleep. He has had people from the church come over to feed his family and pray with him and pray for him and pray with his family. He's an incredibly blessed man to be in such a state near the end before he meets the Father, before he is with Christ himself. We've seen the same thing with Mary Haggie, with Dan Ross, with Wilma Kidd. We continue to see this same pattern in our church, a great deal of Christian maturity where the family, the relatives, the children, the grandchildren of our members continue to serve selflessly their own family in their desperate, vulnerable time of need. Their families have demonstrated that they have learned and are learning godliness. And the main point of our passage today, lots of times we can read this passage and we can think, it's all about widows. This whole thing is real black and white. This passage is simply about take care of widows and widows only. Widows are a vulnerable class. They need to be protected. And now that is the major theme in this passage. But the main point of our few verses here in 1 Timothy 5 is Christians learn godliness by honoring their parents. Christians learn godliness by honoring their parents. Now, verse 3 is a command to the church that marks the topic of instruction for all of verse 3 to 16. Provide for and honor widows. Verse 3, honor widows who are truly widows, period. That's the topic, that's the string that's going to unite this whole section, this whole passage. And the church is to provide for true widows that we see in verse 5. We are to provide for true widows. Well, in verse 3, honor widows who are truly widows. And then down in verse 5, she who is truly a widow. So there is a specific command here in this passage to the church that the church is to honor and care for and provide those who are truly widows. But other than that, the rest of our passage for today, verses 4 to 8, are about you as an individual, me as an individual, not the church as a collective. True widows are those who are destitute. As the passage says, they are left all alone with no family, and they are hoping in God alone because they have no one else. They have nothing else. That is a true widow. But Paul makes a distinction in verse 4. He says that widows with family, widows with grandchildren and children, and if you look at verse 8 and verse 16, widows with relatives, generally speaking, relatives, aren't true widows because they're not truly destitute and they're not truly with no one and they are not to be truly left without. Now, the principle I'm taking from this is all relatives, honor your relatives. Honor your relatives. Provide for and care for your relatives. Precisely, he's talking about widows, but he expands and he says grandchildren and children and relatives throughout the rest of the passage. So we are going to learn godliness by honoring our parents, as this passage teaches us. Now, we see that before the church enrolls widows into their care, the family is to first care for them. The family is to first care for them so that the church isn't burdened. And we see that down in verse 16, so that the church is not burdened. Now, we know the fourth commandment is to honor your father and mother. And then here in verses 3 to 4, Paul commands us to honor your widowed mother and grandmother. And this is a theme throughout Scripture. We got the Old Testament, the top 10 commands. Honor your father and mother. And Paul says here in verses 3 and 4, he commands us to honor your widowed mother and grandmother. So how do you do that? How do you honor your grandmother, your mother? How do you honor your grandfather and your father? How do you honor the sick and the elderly and the vulnerable widows or widowers in your family? What does honor even mean? You send them a Father's Day card, and that's all? You pay for their funeral, and that's all? You make donations in their name to certain things? You praise their name out in public, and that's all? What does honor really mean? What does it look like? Well, we see here in verse 4, one way that we honor our parents is by making some return to our parents. And verse 4, making some return financially and with service. Now, the phrasing of this, the language of this, leans more into the financial. You're to make some return to your parents, but that doesn't exclude service. Doesn't mean that you're disobeying if you give your parents tons of money or you pay for their living facility or you buy them a car and you help them with their rent, whatever it is, that you're not being faithful. But it's also service. It's finances and service. As we read in Psalm 127, Psalm 127 promises parents that children are a reward. The similar word, the word can also mean a wage. They are a reward. They are a wage. They are a heritage from the Lord. Listen, our parents birthed us, reared us. They provide us health care. They clothed us. They make sure we're alive. They give us braces. They give us Nintendos and video games and Xboxes. They give us vacations and a home to live. They sign our permission slips. They send us to school. They sacrifice and provide for us our entire lives. And if you're an adult in here and your parents are still alive and you don't think they continue to sacrifice for you, think again. They sacrifice for you. My parents called us up a few months ago or maybe a year ago and said, look, we want to buy all of your diapers. We said, no, I had too much pride. I'm kind of regretting it. But your parents are constantly providing for you. They're constantly serving you. They're constantly disciplining you. They're constantly serving you. You should honor them in their season of need. We honor our parents by reciprocating all that they have sacrificed for us and provided for us in their season of need. And when our parents, because of their age, because of their health, because of injuries, they need money, they need a home, they need physical care, we are to financially support them, and we are to support them with service in their time of need. I have wiped Jonah's butt countless times, and he's barely won. He better reciprocate. No, I don't know. That might be awkward, but you get what I'm saying. Today, this may include honoring your parents in such a way. It may include moving them. We're different. Our context is different than back then when Paul is writing. We've got Social Security. We got Medicaid and Medicare. We've got retirement pensions and benefits and packages that provide for health care for the rest of our parents' lives. We got 401ks. We got IRAs. We got all of them. So today may include moving your parents in with you, wiping their butts, changing their diapers, administering their medicine, giving them a room in your home. But it also just might include managing their finances in their estate while that money pays for them in the facility, and ensuring that that facility treats them with dignity and respect, is not exploiting them or stealing their money, not charging $1,000 a month for toilet paper. Guys, I've heard it all. There are terrible stories about facilities and how they mismanage things. But that's what it might look like. And we're ensuring that our parents are, in our day and time, in our context, provided for. Maybe you move them in with you. Maybe you move in with them. But we are to honor them in a way that they have sacrificed and honored for us. And, you know, you might ask, why? Why would I do such a thing? Why do I honor my parents? We just discussed how. Now let's answer why. And I'm going to say it's not simply reciprocal. My mom wiped my butt, I'll wipe hers. My mom provided my clothes, I'll provide hers. It's not like that. It's not a tit for tat. It's not a, okay, I'll trade. You did it for me, so I'm going to do it for you. You know what that leaves us with? My parents were terrible parents in my youth and didn't take quite good care of me, so I don't have to do it for them. That is not grace. That is not mercy. That is not the gospel. Why we are to do this? We do this for three reasons. Honoring our parents honors the Father in heaven. Honoring our parents honors the Father in heaven. Honoring our parents honors Christ. Honoring our parents honors Christ. And honoring our parents sanctifies us. It sanctifies us. So first, honoring the widows in our family, taking care of the vulnerable relatives in our family, honors the Father in heaven. Throughout the Old Testament, God makes clear He has a special place for widows. He has a special care for widows and the vulnerable. I mean, just look at our call to worship. Sing to God. Sing praises to His name. Lift up a song to Him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exalt before Him. Father of the fatherless and protector of the widows is God in His holy habitation. He's the protector of the widows. He's the protector of the fatherless. Deuteronomy 10:18 says He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. God commands Israel in His law to leave some of their harvest. I don't know if a lot of y'all probably know this. Pastor Bill last year preached through Ruth, or he taught through Ruth, where we saw that the Israelites, when they plant a field, they are not to harvest the outside perimeter. They are to leave that for who? The widows and the vulnerable and the poor and the sojourners. God provides for them in His law through the mercy of His people. And just like we see with Ruth, She honored her mother-in-law, staying and taking care of her in her widowed, destitute state by gleaning in Boaz's fields as he left in obedience to God's law, some for such people so they can be cared for. God has a special, special place in his heart for the vulnerable, including widows. And by principle, all the elderly and sickly and handicapped and vulnerable in our family who are in need. Indeed, verse 4 says that it's pleasing to God. Let them first show godliness to their own household and make some return to their parents. Why? For this is pleasing in the sight of God. Because it exemplifies and demonstrates God's heart himself for the widows and the vulnerable. So, we honor our parents. We honor those vulnerable in our family that need our help because in doing so, we honor the Father in heaven. Second, we honor the widows in our family. We honor our parents. We honor the vulnerable in our families because it honors Christ. In his earthly ministry, Jesus reprimanded the Pharisees for not honoring and caring for their parents. And Christian read that. It's our scripture reading in Matthew chapter 15, and I'll read it again. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." And Jesus said to them, "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father and mother.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God, you hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Jesus makes very clear, brothers and sisters, that those who claim to worship God and go through the motions at church of worshiping God and don't care for their own parents, don't care for their own relatives, make void the word of God. Their hearts are far from God and they worship him in vain. We honor Christ by obeying his teaching here and in other places and honoring our parents. And further, brothers and sisters, Christ honored his Father. And because he did that, you and I may be saved. Christ honored his Father in heaven. In doing so, he purchased salvation for us and all who believe, all who simply believe and repent. He came not to do his will, but the will of his Father. He honored his Father by being obedient to him unto death. And because of that, you and I may now be saved. Jesus said himself in John 5 and again in 8, "You cannot honor the Father without honoring the Son." You cannot honor the Father without honoring the Son. We honor Christ's sacrifice for us and through him the Father by honoring our parents. We honor our parents because it honors the Father, it honors the Son. And third, honoring the widows in our family, our parents, those who are vulnerable in our family, it sanctifies us. It makes us more Christ-like. Part of Timothy's charge in this whole book is to instruct the church. And in verse 7, he is told, here in our passage, in verse 7, he is told to command these things. Honor widows. He's told to command the church to honor widows, to command those who have widows in their family to care for them. And then note verse 4. He says, "Let them first learn to show godliness." Let them first learn to show godliness before they enroll them in the church's care. Let them first learn godliness by caring for their own widows. Our sanctification, our becoming more Christ-like, over time. That's what sanctification is. It is facilitated, it's spurred on, it's facilitated through instruction in God's word, like we are doing here in the church, by honoring, serving, and providing for our parents. We learn to be godly. We are sanctified. In honoring our parents, we are obeying God's word. We're fulfilling the one another commands. We're fulfilling the fourth commandment and doing what is pleasing in the sight of God, as we've seen here in verse 4. It is an opportunity to learn godliness. It is an opportunity to learn godliness and to be sanctified. Why? Well, it's because, look, we learn to deny ourselves when we care for our elderly parents and the widows in our family. We learn to deny ourselves. We learn to love. We learn to be patient. We learn the compassionate heart of Christ himself, who died for us, though we were his enemies. Now, do not, in light of this, do not view taking care of your elderly family, your sickly family, as a burden, as a chore that's just ruining your life. View it as the God-given opportunity to be sanctified, because that's what it is. It is the God-given opportunity to be sanctified that he has provided you in your life as a gift to learn patience and love and selflessness and self-denial, to honor your parents. Now, that's hard. Doing this is a challenge. I'm not going to deny that. Now, those are the three positive answers to why do we honor our parents. But there are three negatives that we need to briefly look at. And there's the positives, and now there are the negatives. Why we are to care for our parents. Three negative answers in verses 7 to 8. If we don't honor our parents, if we don't care for them in their time of need, we first bring reproach upon the church and Christ and ourselves. We bring reproach. Second, we deny the faith. And third, we're worse than an unbeliever. We bring reproach, we deny the faith, and we're worse than an unbeliever. Those are in verses 7 to 8. First, reproach. What is reproach? Reproach is disappointment. Reproach is disapproval. If we don't care for our own parents, the onlooking world sees and thinks, those awful hypocrites. Those hypocrites. They claim religion. They claim Christ. They claim love. They claim forgiveness. They claim reconciliation, but they're kicking their own parents, their own grandma to the curb. She's got no food. She's got no home. She's taken advantage of by Social Security scammers. They don't even care about her. Those hypocrites. We're better people than those Christians. By not honoring our parents, brothers and sisters, we communicate to the world that the gospel has no power. It has no power. It has no love. It provides no reconciliation. It doesn't produce Christ-likeness. It doesn't produce selflessness. It doesn't produce love at all. We bring reproach when we don't honor our parents. Second, if we don't honor our parents, we deny the faith. How, you might ask, do we deny the faith? Doug, you're saying, I don't honor my mother. I don't take care of my grandma. I don't take care of her when she's in need. I deny the faith. No, I believe. I believe. I haven't denied the faith. How do we deny the faith? When we ignore our own family when they're destitute, we are choosing ourselves. That's why. We are choosing ourselves over others. We are not denying ourselves. We are not dying to ourselves and picking up our cross and following Jesus. Though we claim as Christians that Christ is better than this whole world, than this life, than money or our time, we demonstrate disobedience to that belief, and truly that we don't really believe it at all, by forsaking our needy parents. Let me remind you of a few of the, listen, we all together sang this morning. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands, than anything this world affords today. He's all that my hungering spirit needs to take up others' burdens and to bear them as thine own. All of us sat here and we sung that truth that the gospel produces. And when we do not honor our parents and take care of our relatives who are in need, we make all those pretty lyrics we just sung meaningless. Void. Nothing. We deny the faith. We deny the faith. We go against the call to trust Christ and provide for our family in order to have our own money and our own time and our own freedom at the expense of our grandmothers, of our mothers, of our fathers and grandfathers and aunts and uncles and wives, husbands, children. We deny the faith. Paul says in Philippians 3, verses 8 to 10, indeed, I count everything as loss. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Brothers and sisters, Paul counted everything in this world as loss to know Christ and be found in him. And when we choose our own time and our own money and our own comfort and our own flexibility and freedom over honoring Christ's word, abiding in his word through honoring our own parents and family members, we do not count everything as loss for Jesus. We count everything except our own comfort and our own money and our own flexibility and our own time. It is the rejection of the faith. That's how. James chapter 1, verse 27, he writes, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. If we choose ourselves, we deny caring for our widows and our own vulnerable. We deny the faith. And third, we are worse than an unbeliever. If we don't honor our own family and take care of them in their seasons of vulnerability, we are worse than an unbeliever. Listen, unbelievers, they take care of their own families, do they not? Jesus says, how do you, he's talking to I forget who he's talking to, but he's talking to some people and he says, look, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. And he's talking about how God knows how to give good gifts. He's God. He can give good gifts. Jesus recognizes, though people are evil, though there are unbelievers, though there are unrepentant sinners out there, they can still know how to give good gifts to those who they love. We are worse than unbelievers when we do not honor our own vulnerable family members, when we don't take care of our widows, because we as believers claim to have an all-powerful, all-merciful God that provides all things for us, whom we put all of our trust in for every single thing in our life, but yet deny his word, but yet deny his character by not taking care of our families. Not honoring, you know, unbelievers don't make that claim. They don't sit here and claim, I have an all-merciful, all-powerful God that I trust with my own very life, who provides all things, I want nothing, and I count everything as loss for Christ. They don't make that claim. We do. So for us to dishonor our own parents while making that claim is worse than the unbeliever denying their own parents when they don't make such a claim. Not honoring our parents is selfishness. It's blasphemy because Jesus isn't worth it. Jesus isn't enough. And it's hypocrisy because we're being disobedient to the Savior that we claim. That's worse than being an unbeliever. But wait, Doug, you don't understand. My parents are truly terrible people. They're abusive. They neglect me. They didn't do anything for me. They abandoned me. They're addicts. They're terrible. You should have seen the stuff they did to me when I was growing up. You should have seen how they abandoned me. I have to honor them? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. You ever read that? That's a hard pill to swallow, is it not? It's not an easy pill to swallow to love and honor those people who have intimately abandoned you or hurt you. But in seeking to care for your parents who were terrible for you, there may be reconciliation, there may be sanctification and salvation for them. And we have no right to ultimately hold anger or resentment or unforgiveness towards anyone, let alone our own family. Remember the parable of the unforgiving servant? The guy owed the king a bajillion dollars. He pleaded with the king forgave him. And that same servant went to another servant just right after that who owed him very little money. And he said, pay what you owe me. And the guy said, I can't, and pleaded with him. And that forgiven servant showed him no mercy. He put him in jail until his debt was paid. Now that king heard about it. And he said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy upon you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt, a debt that he can't pay, by the way, which is what sin is for us. And then Jesus follows that with, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. We can't harbor resentment and anger toward our parents. We must make an attempt to honor them and be reconciliatory and to forgive them, to honor Christ. You cannot stand before Jesus one day and say, yeah, I know I willfully disobeyed your commands, but Jesus, you don't get it. They were terrible. He's going to look you right back in the face and say, in anger, you wicked servant, do you not know you were terrible? Do you not know you were my enemy? Do you not know that you, man, murdered me on the cross and I still forgave you? Brothers and sisters, we are to honor the Father, honor Christ, and cooperate with the Holy Spirit's sanctification of us by honoring our parents, our relatives, and in so doing, learn godliness and grow in Christian maturity. Be sanctified. For those who've decided that they will not honor their widowed, elderly, handicapped, destitute parents or relatives, I implore you to prayerfully reconsider. Please. Jesus affirmed Exodus 21:17 in our scripture reading. He said to the Pharisees, whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. And then he affirms the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. Choosing your time, choosing your comfort, choosing your money over abiding in Christ's word is the antithesis of the gospel. It's displeasing to God. It brings reproach. You've denied the faith. You're being worse than an unbeliever because your heart does not exemplify any gospel charity, mercy, reconciliation, love, selflessness. It shows selfishness. Please reconsider your position. And for those with parents who've abandoned them or abused them or dishonored them or otherwise hurt them, I encourage you to attempt to honor them by caring for them in their season of need anyway. And I know it's hard, but God will provide for you strength and clarity in this. And I ask you to do this because, well, first I ask that you forgive them. You can do that. You can do that from home. You can do that in your heart. You can do that between you and God. You can forgive your parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles who have hurt you. And you can pursue reconciliation with them. And the reconciliation is then in their court. You know, you can't control their heart, but you can forgive and you can pursue reconciliation in serving them. And then you can share the gospel with them. And then you can have others in your family share the care of that person with you to help lessen your burden. And in so doing, you will learn godliness. And the Lord may grant reconciliation between you and that person. And the Lord may grant salvation to them. So do not close off the Holy Spirit's work and be closed off to being obedient to Christ from your heart because of your unforgiveness, your resentment, anything like that. And for those here, the many people here in our congregation, I mean this sincerely, who have sacrificed and lovingly honored your spouse, your parents, your grandparents, your aunt and uncles in their time of need that we're seeing right now with Bill, I want to thank you. And I want to thank you on behalf of everybody in the church because you are teaching us godliness by example. One day, no matter what our ages are here, young and old, we will have to care for our parents, our aunts and uncles, our grandparents, somebody in our family. And this church does a truly excellent job at teaching us how to do that and the heart that that requires. So thank you. And all of us younger in here, look to it, watch it, follow it, help one another serve their families, their parents, because it's going to help us prepare for the future. It will. And for those who haven't repented of your sins and believed in Jesus, listen, even though you may honor your parents on earth, you are actively dishonoring the Father in heaven. Why? Jesus says, whoever doesn't honor the Son doesn't honor the Father. Jesus says, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God. And if you have not repented and believed in Jesus Christ, if you do not love Jesus, he leaves you no excuse. Though you are his enemy, he honored his Father. Living the perfect life you can't, the perfect life you haven't, dying the death you deserve, taking God's wrath in your place to grant you his perfection to be received by faith, reconciling you back to the Father. I implore you, honor your Father in heaven by honoring the Son today. Repent and believe in Jesus. Receive eternal life. Learn godliness. Be born again. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've sent your Son, Jesus Christ, that he honored you perfectly by laying down his life after living the perfect life for us. We thank you that you have granted us salvation through your Son's obedience, and we pray that you grant us through your Spirit obedience to your word, sanctification in our hearts by loving one another to the point of denying ourselves and the service of one another, especially our own family. In Jesus' name, amen.